Morning, everyone, and welcome. I don't know how many years we're doing this now, maybe 4 or 5 years, Saturday conference calls. Today, it's not a BYOQ. It's a welcome back Warriors who, as I mentioned, have only had 1 or 2 days' notice, and many have graciously accepted to come back and spend time with us today. Now, some of them have really talked about time constraints, so I'm going to run them by us first, second, and third. Each person will have about 15 minutes because we got a bunch of people. So let me just start with Donald. Would you ask the girls from Massachusetts if they think it's possible to get well? Could you say those words, please? You're not muted, Donald. All right, he's not going to ask you, so I'm going to ask you. Here's a boy who's been struggling for a while. Co-infection is Lyme. I believe his original downfall was mold. Struggles and frustrated, and it's been a couple of years, and I want him to know that if you girls can get better, he certainly can get better. He's from the same place you are. What do you have to say about that, Ellen of Troy?
I'll go first unless Kelly wants to, but I'm happy to.
Just answer this question. I got to let Kelly go first, I promised.
Okay. You want me to answer the question? Yes,
Kenny,
it's possible.
Can he get better?
Absolutely.
All right, honey. Thank you. You're second. All right, Kelly, I promised you first. Can he get better, Kelly?
Oh, absolutely.
All right. So, Kelly, you're up, honey, and I want to thank you so much. You were here under Kelly from Massachusetts. Was that not the name of your thread?
Yes, it was.
All right. Go. I'm done.
So anybody who has this disease and is in the midst of the most horrible time of it thinks they can't possibly get better from this, but you're so wrong, because I thought that. I just did not have faith. And after, you know, talking with Mel and him telling me, give me a chance, just listen to what I tell you, read everything on the threads and on the forum, and just educate yourself and do what the people are saying and do what I tell you, and you will get better. And I did. It takes a long time, so it's nothing that can be rushed. It takes a long, long time, but if you have the patience and you follow the sum of the parts, and you will get better without question. And with all the people that helped me, Ellen was my favorite. I just read her stuff constantly, and I still eat Kind bars every single day because I love my chocolate. And Ellen had posted one time, if you need a sweet, Kind bars only have 5 grams of sugar when you get better and you can tolerate 5 grams of sugar. And every time I eat my Kind bar, I think of Ellen. And so you will. It's a lot of work, and it's a lot of back and forth. You get a little better, and then you have some new symptoms, and then you get a little better again. And all I can do is tell you to just have faith, follow the protocol, listen to Mel, read what other people have gone through, because that will really let you know that you're not going crazy. These symptoms aren't in your head. They're real. Other people have the exact symptoms you have. So they got better, and you can get better. And I just pray for every single one of you all the time, because I know what you're going through, but I know you're going to get to the end eventually, and like we did, and you're going to have a better life.
I tell everybody that community is so important.
So important. The community, that's what I was just saying. It's just so, so, so important to talk to other people and understand, and just, you're not alone. The most frustrating part of this horrific disease is that the medical community refuses to acknowledge it. So then you feel at the beginning, everyone reaches out to the medical community, and I know I did, and I was so infuriated that they would not believe me, and they thought I was crazy. But so you need this community here, Mel's group. You have to have these people because you can't do things alone. I mean, nobody can. And so talking to people on the phone, reading people's threads, it's your community, and they're the people that are going to get you through it.
Okay, one last thing, okay, before we open up questions for you. I guess part and parcel, I owe you a thank you, because I know that you and Ellen have stayed friends over the years. Is that correct?
We've spoken on the phone once, I think, or maybe twice, but we're friends in our hearts, yes. We definitely, okay. I know, I feel that way.
Okay, because you see, I thought maybe you were partially responsible for her responding to me this morning. I almost started crying when she called.
Oh, I don't blame you.
For some reason, she thought I was upset with her about something. And, you know, you're my children, you know. You grow up, you get married, you go away. I'm not going to be upset once you're better. I'll only
exactly.
be upset when you're sick and you don't listen. You remember that, right?
Absolutely.
All right. I mean, you know about hockey, okay? Our boy Donald is a big hockey fan. We got to get this better. So give him a couple of words of encouragement, please.
Donald, be strong. Boston strong, Donald. Boston strong. You can do it.
I'm trying.
Good. Don't stop trying. Just
right.
keep
now,
doing
hard,
it.
It's hard for him to believe what I tell him because I'm a Ranger fan. Would you tell him to trust me?
I'm not going to get involved in that quarrel, but I just say Bruins all the way.
Well, next year. All right, let's open up the floor, and this is how we're going to work it. If you've got a question for Kelly, you just hit *5 now, and we're going to get that question answered ASAP. Donald, I'm going to start with you, okay? Because these girls
That's fine. Thank you. And thank you, Kelly and Ellen, for being here very much. I appreciate it. My question is, did either one of you have mold involved?
I particularly don't really know. I don't think so. We did have our attic inspected to see if there was any mold, and there wasn't. So I don't think I had mold involved. I don't. Ellen can answer.
Ellen, what about you? Did you think you had any mold involved? Yes. Ellen, you're not muted, hon. Maybe you are muted. No, you're not. Okay. Well, maybe she is. Hold on. Ellen, did you have any mold?
Is that better?
Yeah.
Can you hear? Okay.
Yeah, and now I had muted by accident because we have three different people from the same area code. Woof.
So I don't think I had mold in my house, but because I live near the ocean, I think it was very woodsy. It was always kind of damp. So I have a feeling being close to the coast, you know, that doesn't help. But I don't think I had mold in my house.
Didn't you pick up all the carpets and put down wood floors, young lady?
I took up everything, and it was more because I felt like, you know, something in the carpet was biting me. And regardless, it just made it easier to clean once I got rid of the carpets. I washed my floors. I don't recommend this, but I wash my floor every day. And that's how I felt safe. Not everybody has to do that. But the carpet was making it really challenging. So.
Okay. Let's hold up for 1 second. I invited a family, the Gary, Mark, and Deborah, who had Morgellons, Lyme, and mold. And then Deborah went on with and got wound up getting cancer after she got better, like I did. It was amazing. Now, but they didn't show up. Yeah, that since I didn't get a call back, they are going to show up. But I'm going to have you talk with them, Donald, okay? Because they had mold, okay? And they got rid of the mold problem, and boom, they got better. Because it wasn't taxing their immune system, and it was just easier to get better when you eliminate part of the problem. But, all right, I see another question here, so let me go here. Chrissy, go ahead.
Hi, Mel. It was just to ask, are you recording? I was a bit later coming on the call just to double check.
Oh, yeah, the recording's on.
Brilliant. Okay, so I just for peace of mind, because I know this is going to be such a good call as well, with all these lovely warriors from the past come back as well. Thanks.
All right, no problem, Chrissy. Are there any other questions at this point for Kelly, okay, before we move on to Ellen? Oh, yes, good. Ah, Terry, okay, Ellen and Kelly, this is the next lady to be 100%. Another couple of weeks. I predicted Labor Day weekend. I'm about a week or two behind or early. Come on in, Terry.
Good morning, girls. It's really good to hear from you. Kelly, when I first started this journey with Mel, you were on the call doing your happy dance. And that's all I can remember about you. And, Kelly, I can remember you saying, I don't care where I am, I want that glass of wine on the weekends.
Yeah.
That's you, right? Okay.
That's me.
I remember that. Yep. So I just, honey, like, how
time
long
out.
Did...
Time out. Kelly, was that you or Mary? Or both?
That was both. Both Mary and I.
So there's more than one that wanted their glass of wine again, Terry.
I remember that, Kelly, so plain. And how, honey, how long did it take you for a total, how long did it take you to get all well? How many years?
Well, that's a interesting question because all well is, if I go back to my old ways and eat things that I'm not supposed to eat, I can still not feel so great, and so I just don't. I can eat so much more than I did when I had to be on that very strict diet. But so all well, I mean, when I did the happy dance, that took, I think, two years.
Yeah. Now, didn't you have a little bit of a remission because some stress, enormous amount of stress came up after you got well?
Yes, so I had a lot of stress going on in my life at one time, and I started having some symptoms, and I called Mel and told him about it, and basically, as everyone knows, stress can kill, and you have to keep things, you know, under control and understand what's important and what's not, and yes, stress happens in life, and that's normal, but your life is also very important, so you have to learn to deal with things that are stressful.
Okay, Kelly, I always tell everybody, and I mean this, I mean, if people will go back to the way they were before they got here, they're going to get sick again.
Yes, definitely.
But if they can learn moderation and specifically understand the foods that do and do not affect them, they don't have to be sick anymore. Doesn't have to be.
Exactly. Cheese. If I have cheese, I can have a teeny bit of cheese every couple of weeks. But if I have cheese now, too much cheese, which I don't because I'm afraid to, I can get, yes, start feeling symptoms. And so, I mean, what's more important, having cheese. I know you love cheese, Mel, but having cheese or being feeling good, and feeling good to me is much more important.
Well, what I learned recently in a recent Bible translation, right, is that I have a chance to live and to be as old as some of the guys in the Bible, because some of my habits from my early years that I've continued to carry forward. So I have a picture of what I think I'm going to look like at 150, and I'm going to put it on the website tomorrow.
Okay, interesting.
But my time comes, it's definitely going to be clogged arteries from too much cheese and butter. Kelly, God bless you. Really, I'm so happy, and I'm so happy that you're willing to come back here and help when you can. I mean, well, what a blessing.
Oh, I'm indebted to you for the rest of my life, so of course.
No. Honey, only a few really pay it forward like you guys, okay? That's all a parent could ever hope for. Understand?
Yep, so true.
I don't want you to be indebted. I'm just, my joy is that you're better.
Thank you.
Oh, no, thank you. All right, any last questions before we let it go? Because she said milk.
Thank you, Kelly.
You're welcome.
Yeah, let me unmute everybody here for a minute. Give her a big thank you, boys and girls. Come on. Thank you, Kelly.
Thank you, Kelly.
Oh, you're welcome, everyone.
All right, now we got them all muted. So let's see now. All right, Ellen, is that you, dear?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, great.
All righty. So, of course, the question, you know, Donald is going to get first up, because you're also from his same state. Go ahead, Donald.
Yeah, Ellen, what was the turning point for you when you knew you were getting better? What did you notice?
I think there wasn't a specific time. Like people say, when did you get better? It happened gradually, but in the beginning, I was not able to sleep. And for anybody else who has the biting and the, you know, itching at night, not being able to sleep affects everything. You can't get better if you're not sleeping. And so once I got a handle on that itching and biting, and that was because of all the protocol and the diet and everything, then I felt like, well, I can do this because now I can get some sleep. But when I wasn't sleeping, you start to mentally feel like you're not going to be able to make it, because sleep is so important. And that biting at night was horrendous. Once that went away, once I felt the itching and biting, the other symptoms seemed to be manageable, you know. So I would say, you know, it was only a few months when I felt that the worst symptoms went away after a few months. But I was so strict, and maybe not everybody can be as strict as I was, but I didn't go off the diet at all. I mean, when I say that, I mean like I really mean it, you know. So some people, you know, live with other, like you have a bunch of kids you're taking care of, and you know, I was like a crazy person adhering to everything because I didn't have to worry about other people's laundry or, you know, so I was able to really follow everything pretty strict. It was a few months before I felt getting better, and that's all it really took. But that doesn't mean that everybody will have that experience, because I wasn't really a sick person prior. I didn't have any pre-existing conditions.
Ellen, how long did you have the disease?
And you're not going to believe this one.
I think it was like around 9 months.
Ellen Troy is the all-time leader in time to get well. But let's preface this a little, if you don't mind, Ellen. Ellen got to me in the first week that she ever thought she was sick. She was sent to me by a relative who was a brilliant physician in her own right, and she just did everything exactly the way I asked her to. I mean, she was maybe the second or third warrior that ever came here. And man, 9 months, she got the sleep under control, which I tell everyone is the most important thing in my mind. Okay, and that's why I sleep the way I do, because I want to live to 150. But she just did it. I mean, there was no questions, no arguments, no, I don't know if you think I raised my voice. I'm not sure. Did I ever raise my voice to you?
I can't say that you were never annoying.
Oh, I'm always annoying. That wasn't to question you.
I think I, by the time I, and I had done a lot of research, by the time I got in touch with you, I was willing to do anything. I mean, I just was, I needed somebody to show me the way because I was just so sick. I was so sick. So I don't think, if you did have a harsh word for me, I really didn't care because I was on a path and I was determined to get well.
Okay, that's fair enough. So I just don't want them to think that, you know, I softened up in my old age. That's all.
No, I don't think that's possible. I have a question. I want people to vote. Who has the worst Boston accent between all these Massachusetts? I always think mine is bad, but I think people should vote. Who is the worst Massachusetts accent when we're all done?
Okay, let's do it now. All right, if you think Donald has the Boston accent thickest, is that a fair way to put it? Then you got to hit *5 now because Ellen asked for a vote. And listen, if you guys listened the way Ellen listened, boom, you would be well in about 13 to 18 months. All right, Cheryl, go ahead, is voting for Donald. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm not supposed to. Cheryl, quiet, Mel. Who else is voting for Donald as the thickest accent? Come on now. Let's go. We don't have a lot of time today. Well, no, we try to keep it under 2 hours. And so, all right, so that's that. That's it. 1, 2, 3. Any more votes? All right, who thinks Kelly has the thickest accent from Massachusetts? Here we go. *5 now if you think Kelly had the thickest accent from Massachusetts. Well, that tells me that Kelly does not have a Massachusetts accent at all. And if you think Ellen of Troy, the 9-month wonder, had the thickest Boston accent, hit *5 now, and then we can continue with the call. Ellen, I have wonderful news for you.
Yes.
Donald has the thickest Boston accent.
I think you're probably right.
Well, they voted, and you and Kelly got 0 votes, and Donald got votes.
I have to work at it.
Hey, let me tell you something, okay? Everybody knows where I come from, and it's never going to change. I'm proud of where I came from. All righty. So, questions for Ellen of Troy. Come on. This girl got done in 9 months. I couldn't believe it. I mean, and it's still to this day a time frame. I'll tell you, Ellen, Terry, right?
Yeah.
Probably would have gotten done in about 18 months, except she was nursing her husband who died of cancer.
Oh, wow.
And I don't think it's possible to overcome that stress.
No, that's just too hard.
Right, but she did everything, Ellen. I mean, every single day, exactly the way. And, you know, I'm figuring she's a couple of weeks away, you know, at worst, because really... Mm-hmm. Only has one symptom left, and that's a little stuff in her eyebrows. So, anybody have a question for Ellen? All right. Ellen?
I can keep talking if you want.
Well, if you have some things that you think will benefit the others, then go ahead, hon, because it's for them.
Well, I think in general, and one of the reasons I wanted to be on the call today is I think we're all going through some really, really challenging times. And when I was thinking about, this was 2012, I think, wasn't it, Mel, the fall?
Yeah.
So it's 8 years ago. And what I think is important to let people know is whatever you're going through, like, I think within us we have what we need to get well. And I'm going through something challenging right now with family. And I look back and I think, how did I ever do that? How did I ever take charge and really just turn my life upside down and get better? And I think we all have that within us. So your original question is, can you get well? Yes, of course, everybody can, because I used to say when I, in the original calls back in the beginning, there's nothing special about me. So if I can do it, then anyone can. But it doesn't mean it's easy. And I think you have to look at that. Whatever strengths you have, put that in place to get better. It's just, and it wouldn't make sense for me to say that I got better in 9 months and it was easy, because it was not. It was not easy. And I was alone a lot, and I didn't know how much I would infect others. And I was really isolated. Well, right now we're all isolated. So it's that what I learned back then, I can put into place right now with this epidemic, because a lot of people are struggling with staying away from family members. My parents are in their 90s. I worry about that every day. I want to keep them alive. So, you know, the things that you have within you that have gotten you through difficult times will get you through this, Morgellons, also. You have to believe that. If you believe that, it and anyone else's time frame, it doesn't matter. It might take someone 2 years. And I think I got better in 9 months because I really didn't have any other health issues that, you know, were occurring at that time. So I was fortunate. I think people are hard on themselves. They blame themselves. Oh, I shouldn't have been smoking, or I maybe drank too much, or I wasn't eating right. And I hear that all the time. People blame themselves. It doesn't matter, because you can change everything. You can change all of those habits. And you can start a new life, you know, and I think people have it within themselves, and they have to have the faith that they can do it.
Well, one thing that I tell people all the time is that if you leave this website better, you're a completely different person than when you got here.
Yeah, I believe that.
Oh, I know you do. I watched it. All right. Any questions for Ellen? Questions for Ellen. Now, Ellen, I think when you were first getting better, Peter first fell in. So I just unmuted him because I wanted to give him an opportunity to say hello.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, hey, Ellen, this is Peter.
Hey, Peter.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
It's good to hear your voice, yeah.
All right. Go ahead.
I was just going to say we have some memories and a history. Ellen and I, we kind of came through this together, came alongside one another, and shared a lot together.
Yeah. I know.
And I grew up in Falmouth, which Ellen knows. Kelly's not here any longer, but she knows too.
You don't have a Boston accent.
No, I did when I first got to California, but it went away.
Yeah, you have to work at it. You have to work at it to get rid of it. It's hard.
Yes, you do. Well, it's it's good to hear Donald and others that have it. It reminds me of my youth and some really good memories. So
yeah.
You're a good memory too, Ellen. You're a good memory too, and I'm so thankful
thank
that
you.
You're here today to let everybody
wow,
know that that we both overcome and cage the beast, so to speak.
Yep. Thank you, Peter.
All right.
Bless you.
Any questions for Ellen before? Okay. Well, Ellen, I can't thank you enough, and I'll tell you again, you made a month, a year, I don't know. I'm just glad that you're here and that you were willing to pitch in and help today. Now,
I'm happy to be here.
If you have to leave, it's all good, because one last time, anybody got a question for Ellen of Troy? Donald, one more question. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. Oh, we got questions galore. Hold on now. Lee first. Go ahead, Lee.
Oh, hi, Mel. And
hi.
Hi, Ellen.
Hi.
I have a question. When you first started the WPS, what happened or what were your symptoms? Like, first of all, did you have like one drop or whatever? And then what happened because of it? Meaning, did you get nauseated? Were you fatigued or et cetera?
The protocol is a little different now. It was just, I might have even started with half a drop once a day. It wasn't split twice a day. And I got to a maximum of about 12 or 13. I'm a small person. So I think you have to think about how large a person you are. So it was like maybe 12 or 13 drops. And I never had any adverse reaction till I got to that number. And then I got a massive headache and I felt like I had to lie down. And that's when I think at the time, the direction was to stop for 3 days. I can't remember. It was 8 years ago, by the way.
Stop for 3 days, the same as it was. In the old days, we only took it once a day. And even though she worked up to 13 drops, my max was 14 drops. And I weighed a lot less than she did. But
so I think I didn't really have any terrible work with it ever. You know, that's when I knew that was, you know, it might have been less than that. It might have been 10 or 11. But in any case, I didn't really have a terrible reaction. But I knew, because it was the symptoms, I knew that, okay, this is all I can do. So
right.
I might have even taken some vitamins. Yeah.
Working backwards after a three-day break.
Yeah, I might have taken some vitamin C.
Listen, you knew that at the time that was one of the signs of a major herx.
Yeah.
Okay, today it's a little bit different, okay, because we split the dose to try to get there more gently.
Yeah.
Okay, so, I mean, hey, at the time, that was the indication. And when you told me, I said, that's it, good for you. Downhill now, and it was downhill.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Okay, hang on a second. All right, Donna wants to say hi. Come in, Donna.
Hi, Kelly, and hi, Ellen.
Hi.
I just want to thank both of you for being here with us today. And Ellen, you were my mentor. I wanted to break your record. You can ask Mel that. I was determined, so he nicknamed me Sneakers. I was in a hurry. And, no, I didn't beat your record, of course, but like I said, you were an inspiration to me, and I was able to be well in 16 months.
Good.
She's celebrating her two-year anniversary, Ellen.
1 year for Happy Dance.
1 year, sorry. And I think we all remember the joy in remembering that day after the experiences that we had.
Oh, that's great.
Okay, any more questions for Ellen of Troy? All right, Ellen, it's up to you, my dear, if you're going to stay or not, but God bless you and thank you so very much. And
you're very welcome.
you know, can I call you?
Absolutely.
Okay, that's great to hear. All right. All right, let's see now. Let's see. I'm going to let Terry talk a little bit, even though Terry's at 99.2. But she is going to be the next person to get well. And I think that she can lend some really good stuff to this call before we go on with those who got well. I'm going to bring you in right after Terry, Donna. Okay, so let's go find Terry. Hi, Terry. Good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
Now, have you developed muscles from throwing the grandchild up and down in the air like I taught Donna?
Oh, no, but I am enjoying him. I have him every day for a couple hours, and right now he's my life, he's my joy, he's my everything.
Okay. What would you tell those who are not exactly where you are at this time?
Well, I got sick in June of 2017. So all of you people on this call, whether you've been here a while or you're new, this journey's a long journey. It takes time, and it just like all the rest of the warriors on this phone call that have gotten well, the one thing, the main thing that I stress and that you have to do is you have to listen to Mel, because he's your only guide. He's like your dictionary, your Bible of knowledge on this disease. I mean, he's seen so many people through this, not only people, but himself. Who more could you trust and rely on? I have put my faith totally in God and Mel, and that's the only reason I'm getting well. I listen to what he says. I do everything he says. But mainly the biggest key to this whole thing is your diet. If you don't stay on the diet, you will never get well. Because I've heard people say, well, I have a cheat day and I eat a piece of pizza. Honey, I hate to tell all of you, but if you ate that piece of pizza, that might have set you back a month. I have never, and it's been almost 3 years now, put one single bad thing in my mouth. Never. I mean, I give my grandson ice cream, cookies, candy daily, and I don't even lift the spoon because I want to get well. And if that's what it takes to get well, I will do it. My husband was in the hospital a month and a half. Cancer. And I took my food to the hospital. I took my protocol to the hospital. And I can truthfully tell you, I never missed one protocol supplement, one WPS drop, or my food. I took all my food daily. I came home at night every night, 8 and 9 o'clock, and I made all my food. I got all my supplements lined up in little bags. And I was ready for the next day to go to see my husband and spend the whole day with him, because at the same time, I was determined to get well. And that's what it takes. It takes determination. And but the coaching for Mel is the key. Every single week we have talked now for almost 3 years, and he's guided me. He'll say, okay, where are we today? So I'll tell him my symptoms. Sometimes he adjusts the protocol a little bit. You need a little bit more Magnifical, or, you know, maybe some, you know, this or that, and he'll adjust it. So along the way, you need his help because you need those little adjustments and those tweaks. But I just want to tell you all that I know exactly where you're at, whether you're just starting, whether you're at the middle, whether you're, you know, wherever you're at. And I swear I have been through everything you have been through, because it's been a heck of a nightmare. But you will get to the end just like I am, and just like Kelly and all these people on the call today, because you're determined, and that's what you want more than life itself, is to get well. I want to hug my grandson and kiss him, which I haven't done in almost 3 years. I didn't get to hug and kiss my husband before I lost him. But I will get well. And I want you all to get well. But it's plain done determination and the help of Mel, your diet, your protocol. And I promise you, you'll get just exactly where I'm at and all the rest of these people that are on the call today. And I want to thank you all for coming today and giving us all hope, because you can get well. Thank you.
Thank you, honey. Thank you. Okay, you are some warrior. All right, let's see. Oh, I promised Donna. Come in, sneakers. Hey, I hear that you put the elephant costume back on because you put a few pounds on. All these girls are worried that this 20, 30 pounds they lost, they'll never get it back. Why don't you give them the clue? Oops, I unmuted Cheryl and thought it was Donna. That's how confusing it is. Come in, Donna.
I was talking into the air.
Oh, no.
No, yes, you will put the pounds on. I didn't get back to where I started, but I didn't want to be back at the weight I started. But, yes, you will gain the weight. And I didn't eat anymore. It's just that, like Mel says, the disease wasn't taking my nutrition. You will gain it back. Absolutely.
So, what would you like to tell them about the one-year anniversary, since I can't get you to put it in print yet? And Peter,
wait.
Peter always said the happiest he ever heard me was on the one-year anniversary call. Is that right, Peter?
Oh, goodness. I don't recall that, Mel. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
It's a long time ago.
Hey, I know it's a long time ago, but you didn't hear it when I did it. You heard it as part of a recording as your homework. And I remember, I find the email, Pete. I'm going to find it and publish it, where you said that was the happiest I ever heard you.
Yeah, that would be great.
Words for, you know, like it was yesterday. Anyway,
I don't look back much, you guys. I have journals that I can go to for resources to help people, but I don't. You know, the Lord says today's the day of created. Rejoice in today. Tomorrow has worries for itself. And He says that I'm doing a new work in you. Do you perceive it? That means fall forward, not backward. And so that's kind of what I follow. But anyway, I'm sorry, Mel. I do not recall that. I apologize.
Don't apologize. It's not a problem. Donna, so what do you have to say for yourself?
I just like to reiterate what everyone said. It is a journey. It's probably, you know, one of the hardest journeys I've ever been through in my life, and I've learned a lot from it. You know, you have to have determination, like Terry said. You have to have perseverance. You have to have faith, like Kelly said. You have to have trust. Trust in the Lord, trust in Mel. This community was a godsend for me, because you get to talk to people that are going through the same experiences as you, and it does help. And coaching was instrumental. I mean, Mel was a phone call away, and I knew that. So that was extreme help. And today, after being well a little over a year, I mean, I am just living my life to the fullest right now again. I'm able to have a relationship with my grandchildren that I was afraid to have, because I didn't want them to not understand that I couldn't, especially my youngest one. She's only two, but at the time, when I got this, she wasn't born yet. So it was very difficult for me not to be able to pick up that infant, but I was scared to. And something else that Terry said was that, yes, diet is another critical part of this journey. A lot of times, you know, you're tempted by all these things, and it's like, why can't I just eat that? And I'd always ask myself the question, is it worth eating, or do I want to get better? and I knew getting better was more important. So I had the willpower to just not eat it because it meant more to me to get well. And no matter, like everyone says, wherever you're at on this journey, everyone's body is different. Yes, I did get better in 16 months, and like I said, I wanted to be better in 9 months, but I wasn't. But that's okay. The biggest part of this story is that you will get better if you just, you know, have determination and perseverance and faith and trust. So that's what I wanted to tell everyone that's listening today.
All right. Do we have any questions for Donna? Celebrating a little over 14 months or thereabouts of health restoration. Finally, got to be questions about what happens when you get better. Nobody has a question. All right, well, we're running ahead of schedule, so I'm going around the room. Donald, anything you want to say real quick?
Donna, how many drops did you get up to?
Oh, okay, Donald. I got up to 15, which most people don't. But I don't know if I had an orange stomach or what, but yes, I had gone up to 15 at one point.
Do you take any WPS now at all, any maintenance dose?
I did at the very beginning, but now I don't. Only if I, if maybe I feel a cold or something coming on, I might do a couple of days. But no, to say that I do that all the time, no. But I do the supplements every day, the basic protocol every day.
So you do the Lyme kit with the extension or just the Lyme kit?
Just the Lyme kit, no extension.
Okay, thank you. Congratulations.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Yeah, once you get well here, kids, I recommend you stay on the basic protocol because I truly believe that it's part of inhibiting the aging process by replenishing all the nutritional supplements that our body stops making at certain age. But to stay on extension and WPS, hey, man, I got WPS in the house, and I take it. I brush my teeth. I gargle with a sore throat or an infection in my gums. I bathe in it. And, but I don't drink it unless I feel like, sore throat, I'll gargle. But if I think I might be getting a cold, I might pop just 9 drops in at night. Because my tolerance level back in the day was 14. All right. Terry got a question. Terry?
Yes, hi, Donna. How are you, dear?
I'm fine, Terry, and I'm so glad to hear your voice. I haven't spoken with you in a long time.
It's good to hear from you, honey. I do have a question. You know, it's Kelly said if she eats things she's not supposed to, she feels like she's getting symptoms. Do you feel that way?
No, I guess I'm really fortunate, and I do have my glass of wine as well and coffee.
I'm glad to hear that. Glad to hear that. Very, very good. Glad to hear that.
What was that second thing there, young lady, and what?
Coffee.
Oh, for those coffee lovers, which I am, and I do. I keep my coffee only down to 1 or 2 cups a day, but I still, it's like I get it, so I'm good, if anyone understands.
Exactly.
It's not how much you get, it's either the flavor or the craving or whatever. Anyhow, I don't know, I tell everyone moderation is the key once they get well, but again, everybody's body is different, and some of us can do things that others may never be able to do. It's just the way it is. One must learn one's own tolerances. Would you agree with that, Donna?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I've learned that another thing I wanted to point out, too, someone mentioned it, and I wasn't sure who, but stress. And Mel, I get stressed out. And I have since learned, I'm not going to say I don't get stressed out anymore, but it's to a point that I don't let it, you know, get the best of me. I, you know, I control it now, and it's not going to control me. And so, therefore, I think that it's helped a lot.
Okay, well, I know that it's helped a lot. And I know that's something that I have to work on with almost every single person, okay? But, hey, when one finds ways to control their stress, they really probably have completed the sum of the parts. Because I think that's one of the hardest things for everyone to do, unless, of course, you know, you're mentally crazy like me. It's real easy. All right, come on. Any more questions for Donna? Really? All right. All right, Donna. Well, here we go. Good. Go ahead, Lee.
Hi. Donna, this is Lee.
Oh. Hi, Lee.
Hi, this is Lee. And I have a question. Did you ever have any, like, crawling on, like, one specific spot, like almost a pulse, which I have on my right inner ankle? I have, like, sometimes I get, like, it's a crawling, and then it's a pulse, and it probably lasts for maybe 10 minutes, and then it's gone. And I've tried various things. And I'm wondering, did you have this? And if you did, what did you try?
No, I'm afraid I didn't have that symptom. I had mainly a few breakouts. I had the itching and burning at the beginning. And I also had, which was strange, and I don't know if when you say pulse, that's why I'm asking this question. I had like a vibration, but my vibrations were like within my body, like in my stomach, you know, in my torso. I have vibration. It was strange. It felt like I guess the best way to do it was like a drill or something, and it was constantly vibrating, or a jackhammer, but not in that magnitude, don't get me wrong, but a vibration. Oh. And okay. There's nothing I could really do for that.
You know, Lee, I tell you that when I was very sick, I remember laying back on the couch, and each day between 3 and 3:30, I could swear that a worm was crawling up my spine and then back down, and then it was gone until the very next day at the very same time. You know?
That is, yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to tell you that when you get better, it goes away. But what did I specifically do to eradicate that, I really can't tell you. I do know that I haven't had it in, 13, 14 years, no worm going up and down. So I imagine that at some point in the herxing, whatever this is, whatever it is, will pass. But in the beginning, it's the worst. The first 6 months are the worst. And in that post, for New Warriors, there's a recording that was made by Thomas the Tank about the misery of the first 6 months. And, you know, you're right on schedule. In fact, you're probably a little ahead of schedule because, you know, we caught this right away this time. We have more questions.
Good.
So is that good for you at the moment?
No, that's good. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, and then it was Ruth Ann, yes?
Hi, Donna. This is Ruth Ann. I don't know if you remember me.
I surely do.
I you know, when you guys all well and left, and, you know, more or less left the calls on a weekly basis, I missed you.
Well,
I just wanted you to all know that.
Thank you. I try to come as often as I can. When you get your life back, as Mel says, it's like...
I understand why you did that, and I think it's probably normal. It's probably normal. But another thing I wanted to say is my... I woke up one morning, and I had... Boy, I'm getting a vice feedback in here. One time I was, like, my whole body was vibrating, And my chiropractor said, put your bare feet on the grass for half an hour or so. And he said, that'll reset your vibration. And I did, and you know what? It did.
So, wow, I wish I'd have known that.
Yeah, you put your bare feet on the grass and sit there, you know, for half an hour. He said 20 minutes, but I found it took longer than that. And it, the vibration of the earth that makes you come into agreement with the vibration of the earth, which resets your vibration. And, yeah, and I've done it more than once, and it does work.
Well, like I said, that's wonderful. I wish I'd have known that, because that was probably one of the most disturbing aspects of it for me, I think.
All righty. I can only suggest that be careful if you go out barefooted in the lawn. You don't want to get bit or anything like that. Okay. We got another question from Donald for Donna. Go ahead, Donald.
Yeah, Donna. Was anxiety one of your symptoms?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Donald. I was just anxious about everything. I my poor husband, I know, I drove him crazy sometimes. I was so anxious about every little thing. I did like Ellen. I was mopping my floors every day. I threw away all my area rugs. I was obsessed or I don't know what would you say the word would be, but paranoid, and it was bad, yes.
Put it to you this way. We called her Sneakers because she was always in a hurry. And I think the favorite two words I used to say to her was slow down.
That's true.
Donna, did you get the anxiety at a certain time every day?
Probably more. I know this is strange, but probably more in the morning. A lot of people claimed that they would get it at night when they were there, let their thoughts run away with them. And I didn't. At night, for whatever reason, I could turn on the television and I could relax and I could go to sleep. But it was probably more in the morning.
Okay, well, that's really strange, because that's when Donald gets his, too.
Really?
Yep. 5 o'clock in the morning.
Tell him what your co-infection was, Donna.
Lyme.
Thank you very much. Good, Donald?
Yep, good. Thank you very much, Donna and Mel.
You're welcome.
You're welcome, buddy. All right. Donna, anything else you'd like to say to him before we go ahead and move on?
Just to everyone, just, you know, keep persevering, have faith, listen to Mel, get coaching with him, and follow the diet, and you can get through this, and the sum of the parts as well. I'm sorry. I forgot that part.
A lot of parts. But won't you agree that eradicating the anxiety is probably the final link to the sum of the parts, honey?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
It is.
Okay. So, I mean, you know, it's not like I'm telling them something out of school that how important it is to learn how to control their fears. And I think the best way, Donna, is to keep reading. And someone said that they missed you. Okay, Ruth Ann. Okay, well, guess what, Ruth Ann? All you got to do is go back and play all the old calls. She's right there for you. That's why we record them. Right, Donna? She misses you. Go back and find the call.
I try to come at least once a month now.
I know you do, honey. And you know, you and I have had this conversation. It's great that you do, okay? And it's a shitload more than most do. So thank you. Is there anything you want to say to them in closing before we let you go? Because, oh, will you tell Terry that it's true you get muscles when you throw the kids up and down?
Oh, you do. You do, and I'm enjoying holding mine and hugging mine. I'm enjoying it. One of my greatest things in life is those grandchildren.
You see, Terry,
you're absolutely right.
You'll get muscles if you start throwing them up in the air, girl.
I can't wait.
All right. Donna, anything else, honey? And thank you so very much.
Well, thank you for having me. And I just want to tell everyone that I continually pray for them and that I know that if they, you know, do what they need to do, they will get better. And as Ellen says, if we can do it, you can do it.
Yeah. I know Ellen was one of your favorites when you came.
Yes, very much so.
Oh, I know. All right. Thanks very, very much, Donna. Thank you so much. You have a wonderful, wonderful weekend.
Thank you again, Mel.
Okay. Now, I invited two guys, but I guess I didn't remind one of them, and he forgot after about 10 days. But the other one, and you saved the best for last, is my buddy Peter. Come on in, Pete.
Hey, thank you for those kind words. Hey, everybody. It's good to be here, Mel.
Well, I mean, I don't know if you want to go right to questions, if you want to tell them anything. I know that the people who showed up late got here late because I told them when I was bringing you on and they had questions for you.
Well, this has always been my second home and very dear to me because it's the place where I got well too. I remain in remission some 6-7 years now. Like I said, I don't look back much. But if you'd like, there's a couple comments I wanted to make. And then I wanted to bring a different perspective this morning, you guys. So I brought a post that I made in 2012, I think, Mel, 2012, okay. Called a 57 Restore. Do you remember that?
Yeah, about the car.
Yes, and so what it is for you guys is back in the day when I was just beginning this protocol, it was what I came to understand from Mel's principles and from what I was learning here. I kind of put it into a post that I call 57 Restore. If you'd like, Mel, I really wanted to share that with folks this morning, if that's okay.
Yeah, well, why don't you bring it forward if you find it, and they'll be able to read it after the weekend, too.
Oh, I'd be happy to. I'm happy to. But if it's okay, I'll share it with you right now. It's not very long.
Good.
So my brother-in-law and some friends and I, when we were much younger, used to restore cars. We'd go to junkyards and find – we always looked for 57 Chevys because it was a very special make and model of cars back in the day. So I wrote a post. This was 10/18 of 2012. Probably on the protocol, Mel, maybe 4 months? I started in 6 or 7 of 2012. So very early on, and this became my grounding principle. This became what I followed. And so I'd love to share it with you guys. It's called a 57 Restore. Imagine for a moment you and a few friends finding a 57 Chevy in a junkyard. The once fully functional car is in a total state of disrepair. So you decide to do a full restoration. One works on restoring the frame. Another works on the suspension. Another works on the engine, another works on the transmission, another the interior, the wheels, and then the paint. You exercise great discipline and diligence every day in your commitment towards a total overhaul, not an easy task. Now imagine that 18 months later, you stand back and see a completely new and fully functional, beautiful car. The car at the junkyard represents the compromised state of our bodies that allows more gallons to overcome us. The different aspects of the repair work represent the different aspects of the meds and the nutraceuticals as they repair the different parts of our bodies within the protocol. The finished car represents our bioterrain after 18 months on the protocol. What a simple and meaningful analogy this becomes for understanding our journey back to health. And so I use that as my guiding principle, and that's what you're doing, folks. You're doing a complete restore of every organ system in your body, restoring the flow of the bioterrain, which is the fluid, the nutrient-dense fluid around the cells. And as that happens over time, we lose the symptoms, we get our thinking capacities back, we get our ability to, our energy and our ability to function back. And so I would hope that everyone here could find value in that. And I'll bring it forward for everyone, Mel, if you'd like. I'd be happy to do that.
I'd love that, Peter, because I remember that, okay? Because I knew what you would... what it was. I don't know, Peter.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's the ginkgo, which then became the phosphatidylcholine, but then became the Q10 eubinol. But man, I've been taking those things from memory since I'm about 14 or 15 years old.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yep.
So anyway, you want
to ask
questions or you want to say something else, buddy?
Yeah, there's one other thing I wanted to share. Thank you. I wanted to thank you for putting up a post that I put up some time back. It's called the Holmes Ray Stress Inventory. And I just wanted to share with you guys, it has 43 different life events where you attach points to them if they're stressful for you. I would encourage everyone to take the test. I don't know where I was when I first started, but I worked on those life events. I know my number wasn't alarmingly high. You can get up to 300, which is a basket case, basically. I am down to around 75 or 80 now. Most people that I have asked to do this that I come alongside, Mel, they end up anywhere. Well, the last person was at 280 points, 300 being the top. So one of your earlier callers mentioned the importance and the significance of stress. I cannot piggyback that more. This is the big challenge with our disease, is the underlying hidden stressors that are pushing us to the edge in terms of the insults to our body for the management of our immune system. So I would encourage everybody, maybe somebody could take that, or Mel, maybe you could bring that forward. If you guys look at those 43 life events, it'll actually allow you to identify where your stress is coming from. There's a lot of hidden stress that we can identify in this inventory. And there's also, it comes from the Stress Management Institute, which will give you a lot of very, very fundamental tips on how to, in many meaningful ways, manage your stress. So I just wanted to share that with your audience too this morning, Mel.
Oh, no. Terrific. Okay. I figure that, let's see. Okay. Either Carrie Ann and Joe or Cheryl already found it and brought it forward for me to publish again tomorrow.
Beautiful. Thank you.
That's
and,
the kind
and the
left.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I know. Cheryl, you did it already.
No, Mel, I'm sitting here busily taking notes.
All right.
If you would like for me to find it, I will.
Well, I figure you or Carrie Ann and Joe is going to, so I ain't worried. But I know you're taking notes, and that's great. But this call, we're going to have nice, clean recording. You want to say hi to Peter?
Hi, Peter. How are you doing?
Hey, sister. Well, I'm frustrated from the California fires and the smoke that is constantly I'm having to endure each day, which is a real insult to our immune system. But other than that, I'm doing great. How are you and Sunny doing, sister?
We're doing okay. You know what? I really liked your story about the car. I like that analogy of the car. My father used to have a race car back when I was a little girl, and him and his brothers worked on it, and one of his brothers raced it. So when you were talking about the car and redoing all the things in the car, it reminded me of my being a little girl and going to the races and how they would work on that car. So it was a fun thing to remember. So thank you for the story.
Yeah, bless your heart. I have a lot of good memories that way, too. Thank you. Yeah, thank you, Cheryl.
All righty. Let's go ahead and open. Is it okay, Pete, open up the floor to questions?
Can I just say one last thing? I had three talking points this morning because I didn't know where you were going to go. I didn't want to prepare because I don't want to get in the way of the Holy Spirit and what he might have for us on your calls. My dad, Mel, he used to say, I don't know if I told you this before or not, but my dad used to tell me that in each and every difficulty in life, there's always a benefit. More than one if you look. And I believe this is very true, especially with our disease. You know, if you can look at the flip side of things, this disease, it'll generate a lot of emotions, fear, anger, depression, anxiety, despair, just to name a few. But oddly, somehow for me, an enthusiasm for life, and Mel, I think you've made this clear too, your desire to live was part of it. But somehow an enthusiasm for life can emerge and grow in the midst of this, folks. One's purpose in life can even become more clear through the struggles. So those of you guys that are diligently working the protocol, report the benefits too on this forum. Share the benefits with people. There's a sort of inner peace that comes when you know you're taking care of the temple of God. There's a sort of self-awareness that comes through the way we learn how to make discovery. There's a deeper connection to others that is surely felt here. and to the world around us. And our posts often, particularly those of you that post regularly here, I would encourage you to continue. They often reflect that we experience a deeper connection to God. And there's no question in my heart of hearts about that. So for anyone new here, for anyone that's hanging on and still trying to get to the finish line, as you settle into accepting and, you know, the ongoing and often relentless nature of this disease, look for a deeper and a more rewarding way of experiencing your life that can become measurably better, you know, through this protocol and through the challenges of our disease than the stress and the emotional roller coaster that most of us were on before becoming sick. I think you'll also, you'll grow, you'll mature through using this protocol in finding where your strengths really are. Eventually, as was the case with me and so many that you've heard from here this morning, you'll cry tears of joy. Some of you with Mel. I know Mel and I had a few. And gratitude as you realize, you know, the fulfillment of your returning health and the newfound relationship, which is so important in the spiritual side, the newfound relationship you've developed with God. So as Mel often, you know, reminds us, you know, if you remain patient, you develop faith, you never lose hope is a guiding signature, and you stay committed to this protocol, you'll get well. You know that, folks. He knows that. I know that. And pay attention and look for the benefits, and you will find many. Stay in the fight, and you guys remain in my prayer. Stay the course, and you'll get there. So I just wanted to share that aspect of recovery too, Mel. Thank you.
Okay, no problem. We're going to open up for questions because I'm sure we're going to have a bunch for you. And like I said, I know people that came late just to get these in. So we're going to start with the original Karen.
Hey. Hey, Peter. Hey, Mel. Thank you for coming, Peter. I have a question I've been wanting to ask you. Okay. So just quick.
Hello, Karen. Let me say hello and bless your Texas heart first.
Yeah, I don't have a chance to get a word in. I'm sorry. So, well, you know, quick backstory, and I will try to be quick. I'm never very quick, but I have always, I think one of the reasons I'm lingering as long as I am is my difficulty with the WPS. And part of it is I don't like the taste. I've finally gotten past that because that is extremely challenging. I get it. But the thing is that it always makes me feel a little bit bad, even whenever I go down to fewer drops. During the day, I have a problem with it because I'm always at work, and I don't have a routine schedule where I'm in the same place every day at the same time. I test kids, huge suburban district, and I'm at multiple schools all day long. So so that sometimes I get skipped on that one because of that. But at night, what happens is when I take it, I'll get a little bit nauseated. Sometimes I'll start having like that restless leg syndrome kind of feeling all over my body. And I know this is one of the big things that's keeping me from getting where I need to go, and I'm determined to take care of this now. But so I was talking to Mel, and I said, you know, tell him that. And he said, well, you need to eat something. And we discussed crackers. And I said, well, I understand, you know, anything that's an antioxidant will mitigate the effects. So why would I go through and taste that horrible stuff and it doesn't do me any good? So I started looking at that. That's been something I have been doing every so often. I'll go, okay, I'm going to try to find something that doesn't have an antioxidant in it. So you look at ingredients on things, you start Googling them, and everything seems like it's an antioxidant. So my first thought is, my goodness, if everything is such an incredibly wonderful antioxidant, why is anybody ever sick at all? But for example, I thought about flaxers. Well, the flaxseed, just fantastic antioxidant when I looked it up. Anyway, I know you do a lot of research all the time. So my question to you is, can you think of anything I could eat? When I do eat something, it doesn't bother me as much. But is there anything I could eat that would not be unfriendly to the protocol and would not
negate WPS? Hey, Pete, when she told me this, I said, wait till Pete is on the call and ask Peter. Go, Pete.
Well, you know, I know initially, that's a great question, Karen. Thank you. I know initially, as Ellen mentioned, the protocols evolved due to product development and our understanding that, like Mel said, we don't have to have these major herxes necessarily to get well, Karen. But my feelings on WPS. So we went to a high single dose back in the day.
Right.
That can be risky and can create issues with liver and other organ systems. So in the wisdom of John and Mel, they've decided to adjust the protocol. Here's what I would want you to understand, Karen. Most of us, we reach a point, or did, when we were moving up. Mel, correct me if this didn't happen for you, but I believe it did with you either. We had some sort of a herx, a headache, an intestinal herx. But what happens after we reach a point of using the help of WPS as an internal oxidant, the body all of a sudden realizes that making its own redox or reduction in oxidation molecules at a cellular level, they have to learn to do that again. So I think in its innate wisdom, the body says, we don't want this anymore. We want to be able to control internal oxidation on our own now. We're not that sick to where we need the additional support. So in my humble opinion, it's my belief, Karen, that when we reach that point, it's best to let the body come back online, so to speak, and take its ability to manage internal oxidation on its own now that it's stable. And then when these discomforts arrive, I think that it's that way of telling us it's time to stop. We don't need it anymore. So I reached that same point. I stopped it, and I haven't. I'll use it occasionally, just excuse the language, for shits and grins, to see how I respond. I use it as a way to assess just the infection level in my body. It remains low because you won't have any reaction to it if it is, other than the discomfort of the throat and the nausea and the things that your body's saying, we just don't want this anymore. So I would suggest you consider having a discussion with Mel and then maybe taking it out of play completely and seeing how well you do. I know you're finishing the immune pulse and have some issues there, but at some point you don't need it anymore, Karen. It would be my opinion.
Well, I may have misrepresented myself a little bit. Let me be a bit more clear. I have never been good about the WPS.
Right.
I have never had a consistent use to where my body would do whatever and react like you're talking about. I can understand where that would be a decision had I been consistent and been doing what I'm supposed to. I can get the diet down. I can get the everything else down. I have never been good about the WPS, and I really do think that's why I'm not getting well completely. And I think
Let me get back to the question. Is there something she can eat, Peter, that you know will be okay?
Well, there's in terms of antioxidant support, but there's plenty of food, and the olive leaf we take is an antioxidant. But what the WPS does is...
I'm looking for a food for her to ingest before she takes the WPS, which will not have a negative effect.
It won't counteract
The problem is if we eat food along with WPS, it has a tendency to reduce the effectiveness of it. So I never ate food. I never advocated for food. I know that some people couldn't tolerate it without food. I would suggest they avoided protein. So it's not a particular food you can eat that's going to help you. Any food you eat, in my opinion, is not going to help the oxidation process. At some point, I don't think you need it anymore. I would stop it if I were you. Again, I would consult with Mel and see.
Yes, I've been taking it enough to consider that, but I know I need to take it. Okay, I guess
but there are.
Okay, the answer, I guess, is no, okay? And in order to keep the call moving, that's it.
Thank you.
I'll try to find something. Hey, other people have found stuff, okay? So it's out there. I just don't know because, to me, when we were dosing once a day, you know, until we had the big herx, it didn't matter. But we all knew what our big herx was like. And some people today, they don't have a big herx, but they have the herx that they know that in their mind, you know, that was enough, and then we back them off. But Karen's right. She's never been consistent enough for me to consider backing her off at this point. But she's looking for a food that might help calm her stomach. And I figure if you put food in the stomach, it's going to allow the process to go on slower, and maybe that would be the answer. But we'll see. Someone will come up with something and send me an email, and I'll move the information on. Are there any other questions for Peter? Any other questions for Peter? Got to be questions. What about you, Donald? Yeah, your hands. I got you, buddy.
Yes, I do have a question for Peter. Thank you for being here, first of all, Peter. I appreciate it very much. And the question is, when do you know when to stop the WPS? What gave you an indication when to stop it?
Mel, should I tell him the truth back in the day, what we did with a single dose and how it worked, or would you rather
I address that? Okay, and I don't know that, you know, yeah, you tell them what you want, Pete, you know. I mean, hey, we did it differently than they do it. But, look, I'll tell my story first, all right? I knew I had my major herks. I shit my pants. I couldn't get to the bathroom quick enough, okay? Mm-hmm. I was nauseous and had a headache, and I never have headaches. I knew it was my big one, 14 drops. I took 3 days off and went backwards and weaned my way off one drop at a time every 2 weeks. That's why it took 3 months, okay?
Wow.
And then at the end of 3 months, when nothing happened, nothing, is when I finally said, shit, I'm better. 3 months after my doctor said it, I confirmed it. But not until I backed way out of the WPS completely and whatever extension we had created at that time, which wasn't an extension protocol. It was grapefruit seed extract, olive oil, I don't remember, man. It was
oil of oregano under the tongue, yeah, that you hated so much.
God, Peter, was that the worst tasting? That's worse than apple cider vinegar.
So
anyway,
if you want to hear my experience, I had my first Herx at 13 drops. You know, I dropped back to 10 for 3 days. It was an intestinal Herx, several days on the toilet and you know, coming out both ends, so to speak. It's hard for me to go there. Anyway, I dropped to 10, stayed there, but I didn't feel like that was doing it. Something instinctually said I needed more. So I moved up to 13 again with no reaction. I moved up a drop a week till I hit 15. I had a second Herx at 15. It was not as bad. And then I stayed there for a while, and then I moved up to 16, 17, and 18, and I had a third Herx at 18. Which was very mild, but I knew it was related to that. And from that point forward, I was free of any herxing, but I actually, Monica was my mentor. She got up to like 34 drops, which I know she was a big gal, but that's just an insane amount now that I look at it for what it represents to me now. But I actually got up, to 28 drops.
She outweighed the both of us, buddy.
When I got up to 28 drops, Mel, and I had no reaction, I knew that I had the infection under control. So I stopped it at that point, and you know what? I haven't returned to it, except once or twice again, just for curiosity, to see how I would react to it. And each time it was unpleasant to me. My body didn't seem to receive it very well. So, in the day, we moved up a lot. But, again, there are some consequences that can come from that we're now aware of, particularly if you move too fast or you stay on that high dose for too long, and that would be possible long-term damage to the liver and the kidneys. So, you know, you're going to reach a point where you don't need it anymore. Just follow the wisdom and guidance that you find here and in the experience of others, and you should be okay.
All right, we got more questions. Okay, so next question comes from Ruth Ann. Okay, now we got...
Hi, Peter.
Let's go, Ruth Ann.
Yeah,
this is Ruth Ann. What tests do you take to find out what your co-infections are? I know, you know, that it may not be absolutely necessary that you know, but I'd like to know. I'd like to know.
Okay, well, I felt John on that one, okay? But I think I've already told you what your co-infections are, and it didn't cost you any money.
I guess I didn't write that down.
Okay, well.
I don't have a...
We can review that Monday morning if you'd like.
Okay, and I got just a comment to make. The worst tasting thing that you can drink is potassium.
Oh, well, I don't
Absolutely.
Drink...
Absolutely.
Okay, thank
well,
you.
Well, I...
Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. We're going to go. Potassium's not in here. Lee, I want to get this call in. Lee, come on.
Okay. Hi, Peter.
I have a question. There
yeah,
are so many foods that I, hi, Tia. There are so many foods that I cannot eat, and so I've been eating maybe 4 tablespoons of coconut oil a day. Is this a good thing or a bad thing?
Wow, that's a great question, Lee. I no longer use refined oils of any kind. Back in the day, I did use coconut oil to cook with, and for a brief period of time, I would take a tablespoon a day. But I do not believe in taking refined oils of any kind right now, other than cooking with olive oil and coconut oil, because they're not natural. Okay, and the body thrives on things that are more natural, like butter, the Kerrygold butter that Mel tells you guys to use. I wouldn't be taking 4 tablespoons a day. I would take 1 and then I would coconut pull with it, which is where you swish it in your mouth for up to 2 minutes to pull debris out of your gums. I don't advocate.
Okay.
And then let me just say to Ruth Ann, I was going to answer her question real quick, Mel, but she wanted my experience on something, but it got away. I'm sorry.
No, it was about something that she said tasted terrible, and I didn't want to go there and waste time.
No, I understand. No, that's fine. I just I had an answer in mind, but it got away. Again, I'm frustrated right now because I'm looking out my window seeing smoke from the fires. They're burning down our state, folks. Keep us in your prayers, please. Anyway, go ahead, Mel.
Well, hey, Pete, you can come hang out up here, buddy.
I'm sorry? Say that again, please.
You can come hang out up here.
Oh, I still didn't get that. I'm coming.
You can come and hang out up here.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you, Mel. That would be a nice place to be. You're free of smoke up there, I take it. That's wonderful.
At 6,100 with the 30-mile-an-hour winds, we're free of almost everything. We don't even have bugs here because they can't, move around.
Yeah, that's a blessing. That is one of the pristine areas to live with our disease, too. It's high altitude, clean air and water. So it's very helpful for you, buddy, at your age to be there. Absolutely.
No, I know. I really do know. All right. Is there anybody else who has a question for Pete? Pete, I got to thank you, and I got to tell you that I always appreciate it. I know that you and John are doing another call in October. So I guess we'll see you then, but we'll talk to you before then. And please bring that 57 Chevy forward, okay?
Yeah, we'll do that. Mm-hmm.
And
I'll be happy to.
Sure, we'll have the other post that you made brought forward as well. Okay.
And lastly, I would just say thank you to you for bringing forward Donald, whoever it was that brought forward the newly stricken thread. There is so much valuable information in there about our disease, coping mechanisms, the benefits that I shared with you. I believe I wrote a post on. There's so much information there for the newly stricken. I wanted to thank you guys for pulling that forward. That can only help people. And thanks for giving me a voice here and the invite, Mel. As always, I appreciate it.
Okay, well, we appreciate you, Pete. And, just have a blessed day. We'll see most of you people tomorrow. I'm going to unmute everybody so we can say thank you to Pete, and then we can say goodbye. Oh, and wait a minute now. Oh, next week, September 12th, our special guest will be, Pete, you should come, Ruth from England, first person we ever helped in Europe, all better, two-year anniversary. So join us then or join us tomorrow for prayer and fellowship. Thank you, Peter.
You're welcome, buddy.
Thank you, Peter.
Thank you, Peter.
Thank you, Peter.
Thank you, Peter. Thank you, Mel.
Hey, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thank you,
Bye.
Mel.